All we are and ever hope to be is because God so loved the world. That's where we find our hope. Hope turns into the faith that we have to following Him, and it's all because He first loved us. In lieu of fact-checking the pastor, I need a printer retraction from last week a bit. I had the right animal, but the wrong kind of animal. In the opening illustration I used last week about the African impala, I told you it was a cat. It's actually a small deer, which if you think about it, that's even more remarkable that you can keep this deer, the small deer, enclosed in a fence about 3 foot high, even though it can jump 10 feet high and can jump 30 feet roughly in a distance. But it will not jump where it cannot land. And so in illustrating this with faith, we sometimes are asked to go and do things even though we can't see it. Faith helps us to see the invisible. Today we're going to continue our thought and our study in faith, and we're going to talk about faith doing the impossible today. There's this researcher that used to work for General Motors, ran across this story that when he had a problem that needed solving, he would get his team together of engineers and so forth, and they would meet in this conference room, and he would put a box outside the conference room and have this big sign that says, "Leave your slide rules here." And the slide rules is how they helped figure dimensions and so forth, whether or not they thought it was possible, because he said inevitably, when they would bring up this problem and they would work on a solution, someone would pull out their slide rule and start working the numbers and so forth and then jump up out of their seat and say, "We can't do that, boss. It's impossible." Has anyone ever said that to you about something that you wanted to do? That's impossible. You can't do it. Oftentimes we hear those things because people can't see or they can't envision seeing what we're seeing. And sometimes it's because they just don't want to do it as well, so they're unwilling to move that way. They cannot envision a place or a time or doing anything that's beyond themselves or beyond anything that they've experienced. But you see, that's precisely what faith asks us to do. It's to move us beyond what we know into things that we don't know. It's to move us in places that we've never been before and doing things that we've never done before. And we're going to look into the life of Abraham today and discover what he did about faith and going and doing things that he never thought were possible and taking over a long period of time as well to work in his life. So find in your Bibles this morning the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to pick up in verse 8 this morning. Hebrews 11, verse 8, if you're using the Bible in the back of the pew in front of you, you can turn to page 175 in the second part of that book. There you'll find Hebrews 11, and you can find verse 8. Now, there's this element of faith that we've really not seen or discussed just yet, but Abraham is going to bring it to the forefront. Any time that we move in faith, or more times than not when we move in faith, there is a sacrifice that's going to be involved. Abraham teaches us faith sacrifice is our future. And now here's the thing, before we get all weirded out or been out of shape here or go off in a tangent, that the thing, if we're walking in faith, and faith is that we're walking in faith with God, we then would have the same future that God has. And I can't think of a better place to be. So if I'm walking in faith with God and I'm sacrificing my future, that means I'm taking on the future that God has planned and that God is working for me in life. And see, God is the only one who knows the future. He's planning the future. So if God knows the future and He's planning the future and I'm walking in faith with Him, then I'm going to be exactly where God wants me to be. And there's nothing that can stop God's plans. There's nothing that's going to derail it. Nothing's going to slow it down. It's going to happen. So that's the best place to be. And quite frankly, that should give us great comfort. Is that if I'm working and following and I'm walking with God and I'm walking with the future that He's working, that should bring me great comfort. So that means that anytime difficulties that arise in life, I got God to depend upon. See, here's the thing. The philosophy that I follow, if there's a difficulty arise in life or in my life, it's not my problem. It's God's. See, if I'm following God and I'm doing what God wants me to do, then it's God's problem. He's got to solve the problem. Now, here's the thing. If I'm following God and it's His problem, then God has to come up with the solution. And here's the thing. I am 100% confident that God's solution is going to be the best solution above anything else. Now, what that means for me and what that means for you, it means that I don't always have to know everything. I don't have to have all the answers. I don't even have to know where I'm going most of the time. I just have to be sure I know where God is and that I'm walking with God, and that's what really matters. It's where He is. That's where I want to be. So let's read. Hebrews chapter 11, pick up in verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of the promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has the foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she saw when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as innumerable grains of the sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For God, who spoke thus, made it clear that they were seeking a homeland. And if they were thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promise, was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Now, I know that's a whole lot there. So let's see if we can kind of break this down in bite-sized chunks and kind of make something, see what we can learn from this and apply it to our faith and how we're to live. Now, there's something we need to admit to ourselves here about faith, all right? Walking in faith, there is always this element of the unknown, right? In faith, there is always an element of the unknown. So what's that mean for me? That when I walk in faith then, I'm always going to be walking towards something that's unknown. If faith always has this element of being unknown, that means that if I'm walking in faith with God, I'm always going to be walking towards something that is not fully known. It's unknown. Now, those of us who have analytical minds, those of us who have to have this master plan all laid out, we're going to struggle here. Because we have to have all the information up front. However, in faith, faith doesn't require all the information up front. In fact, God oftentimes doesn't give all the information up front. Faith just requires knowing God and following God. I want to read, Abraham was getting a new home, verse 8. Although he did not know where it was. Wow, that's amazing. Now, the wording that's used here, and if you go back into the Genesis account and read through this life of Abraham, you find that as Abraham got this calling from God or these instructions from God, it says that he got up, immediately began to pack to get ready to set on this journey to find this new land or this new home. Catch that? He became immediately obedient to what God had called him to do. He didn't waste any time. He began to move. This life of faith moved him to immediate response to the obedience of God. Now, this is important. See, living a life of faith will mean basing my life primarily on what I cannot see or what is unknown. Living a life of faith will mean that I'm going to base my life predominantly on things that I haven't seen or things that I don't know. Now, I know that's hard, yet let's remember, who is the object of our faith, or the foundation of our faith? It's God. And see, therein lies all the difference. It's God that we're following. It wasn't Abraham's idea to move. It was under the direction of God. Abraham wasn't even given directions to the plan. He's given the big picture. Okay, you're going to go to the land of the Canaanites. Okay, where is that? Is it north? Is it south? Is it central? How much territory are you giving me, God? None of that mattered. It didn't matter to Abraham. He just began to pack and get his belongings together and his wife, and he actually got his nephew. He says, okay, you can join us. And they set out for this land of the Canaanites. It just didn't matter. Now, is there anything in that that we can learn from or apply about our faith? Here's kind of where I see it. Faith will then lead me to leave my past, my present, and sacrifice my future. Faith, walking in faith, living by faith, will have me to let go of my past and my present and sacrifice my future because I'm going to go where God is. And isn't that exactly what Abraham did? He let go of what he knew. He let go of what he was comfortable in his life to do something different, where he had spent most of his life, to go to a place that he had never been before, to see people he had never seen before, to do things that he had never done before. See, the walk of faith, or the calling to faith, the calling to life, is to leave the things of the world, the things that attach us or attach to our lives, is to push all those things behind us, to cling to God mostly, all of ourselves. The person who comes to Jesus, don't we do just that? We relinquish everything of the world, the draw of the world, to take on who God is. We let go of the worldliness to take hold in godliness or holiness. Everything in our life changes. It has to change. And don't we love change? Yeah, we really love change, don't we? No, we don't. Yeah, here's the thing. If we never change, there can be no godliness in our lives. It's that old adage thing I heard growing up. If there's no change, there's no Christ. You see, if I don't change from who I am into who God is making me, then there's no godliness and there's no Christ. There's no transformation from God. My nature hasn't been changed. I probably really haven't believed. I certainly haven't operated in faith in following Him. Now, I know this is hard, because we live our lives a certain way, and we've been into this rope thing of doing life and living life and experiencing life, and we've done it for so long, it just seems so natural for us to do it. But we have to remind ourselves of something. It's God's words and God's direction for life that's going to stand forever. Man's words, human's opinions, desires, traditions, they're not going to last. It's only that thing from God that's going to last. The problem is that we have is that we take all of our opinions and all of our comfort zones and all of our traditions and we mesh them in and we intertwine them with our faith that we don't know where one begins and where one ends. That's why it's imperative that we know what God's Word says. That's why it's imperative that we know and understand who God is. It's why it's imperative for us to understand and know how to listen to the Holy Spirit when He speaks to us. Because it's the things of God that's going to last for an eternity. It's not the things that we put into place. It's not the things of mankind that's going to last forever. It's only the things of God that's going to last forever. And it's the only things of God that really brings life to us. You see, if we're going, in order for us to do new things, it means we've got to change. We've got to let go of the familiar. We have to let go of what is comfortable and take on faith unknown and depend upon God. Now, there's something else we need to know about the unknown. It's going to remain unknown until God chooses to reveal it. Let that sink in for a second. The unknown will remain unknown until God chooses to reveal it. By and large, or most of the time, it stays unknown until we're willing to take the first and sometimes the second or the third step of faith in following God. Until we're willing to take the step, God's going to keep it to be unknown to us. If Abraham never had packed, If he never set out, he would have never seen the land of Canaanites and experienced that land that God gave to him. You see, it would remain unknown. God's going to always require us to follow him by faith into the unknown, because it's faith that pleases God. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but you do know you can't remain where you are and go with God. You can't remain and stay the same as you are and continue to move with God. It doesn't work that way. If we're going with God, there's some things that are going to change in our life. And as we walk in faith, we're going to get stronger, and we're going to mature, and we're going to see God, and we're going to see God do some amazing things. But that requires us to take the first step to follow him. We can only see so far, but it's amazing. Every time you take a step, you can see a little further. Take 10 steps, you can see a little further. That's how it is in following in faith with God. We take one step and the next step and the next step, doing exactly what God has asked us to do and following and walking with God, and we begin to see the unknown begins to become known, because the faith will always lead us to an unknown place. Faith also helps us to do something, and we're not going to like this one either, all right? When I walk in faith, I'll practice patience. That's a bad word to most of us. You know, often, you know, we make changes in our lives and we want instant results. You know, we make these changes and we expect that all these things are going to happen, and they're going to happen, and we've got them configured out in our minds, and they're going to happen as soon as possible. It should happen when we think it should happen. God, however, though, sometimes he just works on a different timetable than the rest of us. Now, personally, this is one of the places I struggle, because I like to see results, and I like to see them quickly, and I like things get done quickly. You know, I'm one of those people that stands at the microphone, or at the microwave, type in your 30 seconds, and, you know, want to hurry up and get done, you know. Or I'll go off and I'll see how many different things I can get done before the beeps start, you know, telling me it's done. Because I'm always in a hurry. I want to get on to something else. Now, we need to notice a couple things here about Abraham and his patience in his faith. We know the part about the promised child, all right? So let's skip to it first. Verses 11 and 12. Did you notice what he says? He was as good as dead. Yeah, he was pretty old when he had Isaac, right? So was Sarah. But think a little harder about this. He was up in years. There was no one to pass the heritage to. There was no one to pass the promise to. He had no one. He had no family. When Abraham died, his family name died with him. There's nobody there. Sarah had this bright idea. Sarah, I'm old too, so here's my handmaid. Have a child with her. She can have children. And she did. And she had a child, a boy child. And they named him Ishmael. The Arab nation is from Ishmael. And see what that confusion has created through the years. The struggles in the Middle East. That was Abraham's other son. And God made the same promise that he would be a father of a great nation as well. Abraham had to wait 40 years for God to get him ready so he could have Isaac as a son. 40 years. Sarah was 90 years old when she became pregnant. Ladies, can you remember what it was like when you were pregnant? Now try to do it when you're 90. You know? That means Agnes is over here. She'd have an 8-year-old child living with her right now. Abraham was 100. Now, does this reveal again anything about faith to us? Walking in faith, being patient with God, patient with the timing of God, produces miracles that only God can do. And that reveals his greatness and his glory. Isn't that awesome? When we are patient in our faith and we wait on God, the miraculous takes place. Things that happen are only things that God could have possibly done, and that reveals God's greatness and it reveals God's glory like nothing else can. And the whole world sees it. What an awesome display of power of God. A 90-year-old lady becomes pregnant, and a 100-year-old man's the father. I mean, Sarah and Abraham, they were the only ones that went to the pediatrician and paid them with a Social Security check. You know? They were old. I mean, we talked last week about Enoch, that he had kids when he started having kids when he was 65. We thought that was kind of old. I'm sure Sarah and Abraham both. God, wouldn't this have been just effective when we were 60 as it is when we are 90? Now get this. My patience reveals my faith in God. The longer I'm patient, the longer I'm trusting, I'm waiting for God to act and to move. Now there's another part here about great patience with Abraham. It actually happens before Isaac comes. Is it back in verses 9 and 10 where we read that he lived in the land God promised would be his. But don't miss this. He lived as a foreigner in his own land. He lived as a stranger in his own land. I'll tell you, that's because God, Abraham was looking for a city whose foundation was laid and maker was God. He knew God was doing something greater than he could ever accomplish. I want to tell you something. It takes a lot of patience to live in a land and a territory that you know is yours, but you can't claim it as yours without grumbling and complaining. And he did it for years. Now get this. This was Abraham's land. It was given to him by God, but he had to pay for it. It was his land that God would give it to, and he had to pay taxes on it. He was subject to other kings in the area because he had to purchase from them and he had to serve them. Abraham should have been the king himself because this was what God was doing and this is what God was giving him. He should have been the king. The secret of Abraham's patience, the secret to Abraham's hope was his faith. Because he was looking for a greater city and a greater land. You know, he didn't even build a home. He lived in a tent. Gives you kind of new meanings to the words Paul would write years and years later in Colossians 3:2. It says, set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. See, only the heavenly minded, only the heavenly focused will have the patience to live faithfully with God when things get hard. When you feel unappreciated, when it looks like it's never going to end. Only the faithful who have patience and faith are going to get through it. I don't know if you've realized this, but you know, it was over 500 years after Abraham before his family ever really took the land. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob became Israel. Israel became the nation's name, and he had 12 sons and the 12 tribes. And Joseph came and led, you know, Joseph was in Egypt, and he lived in Egypt, and then there was slavery for about 400 years. So it's 500 years, roughly, after the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, 500 years before the promise really began to take effect in the land. You might say the most positive thing about faith is not what we can see, not what we can hold on to, not what we can measure, but the promise of the eternal presence of God in our lives. I mean, that's what Abraham was looking for. Did you catch what it says? These people were still living by faith when they died. What an awesome statement. They were still living by faith. Even though they had not received the full promise yet, they hadn't received all of it, they hadn't realized it all. They were still living in faith. And did you catch what he said? God was not ashamed to be called their God. Wow. What awesome words would be said about someone's life. You see, our patience reveals our faith in God, but it also reveals our dependence upon God. Patience reveals our faith and our dependence upon God. See, the walk of faith will call me to sacrifice my plans. Go back to verse 17 and 18. You need to see this again. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." Abraham's future, the fulfillment of the promise of God, rested in the life of his only son, Isaac. That's where it all came down to. Now God wants Abraham to sacrifice this only son. Abraham was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to sacrifice all the potential he saw. He was willing to sacrifice all the possibilities. He was sacrificing the great nation that God had promised him just because God asked him to do so. Abraham was willing to sacrifice everything. And get this. He was willing to sacrifice everything, even though it went contrary to the very things that God had promised him. God, how are you going to make me a father of a great nation? I've only got one son that you said the promise is going to go through, and now you're asking me to sacrifice him? This is never going to happen. But Abraham did it. He sacrificed. Would God ask you and I to do the same thing today? What do you think? Would God ask us to sacrifice our future? All the potential, all the possibilities that we could see. Would God ask us to sacrifice our comfort to walk in faith? Would God take away a bank account? Would God take away a building or a home or a house? Or would God relocate families? Would God relocate a church? Would God ask for tried and true traditions to be given up, to change? In a word, yes, he would. You see, it's a call to love God more than anything else. The thing that I'm holding on to, that what I love and that what I dearly love, that what has been a gift from God, can I give that up? Would God ask me to do that? No, God wouldn't ask us to do those things, would he? I mean, that's what the enemy, that's what Satan wants us to believe. God would never ask you to do that. He would never ask you to give up things you love, things that he had given you, to give those things up. But God has asked, and God will ask, because God wants us to live by faith in him alone. See, Abraham didn't understand everything that was going on. He couldn't see everything that was happening. All he knew was that he needed to be obedient to God and what God asked him to do. He took the responsibility to carry out everything just as God asked him to carry it out. There's a couple things we need to note here, too, about Abraham. One's found in Genesis 22, and then one's found in what we read here in verse 19. In Genesis 22, it says that Abraham, after he had this dream of sorts from God, he immediately got up the next day. He got the wood together. He got the animals together that they were going to carry the wood. He got the fire together, got his servants together, got Isaac, and they set out on the trip immediately. He followed what God told him to do. They get to the mountain a day and a half or so later, 3-day journey there and back. He says, tells the servants to stay here. And the boy and I will go and worship and return. Did you catch that? The boy and I will worship and return. Abraham fully expected to return with Isaac, even though God told him to sacrifice him. In verse 19 of what we read, it says that Abraham knew that God could raise the dead and expected God to raise the dead. Now get this, Abraham knew fully expected. He's going to pull that knife out. He's going to plunge it into his son. His son was going to die, and God would raise him from the dead. God had never told Abraham that. Abraham had never seen anyone come back from the dead. He'd never seen God do that. He believed it could happen, though. You know what happened? God stopped him before the knife went into Isaac. I mean, could you imagine, though, the struggle in Abraham, that whole journey? Could you imagine the struggle, Sarah, waiting at home those 3 days? The whole trip. And when Isaac asked, "Dad, where's the sacrifice? I've got the wood, I'm carrying it up the mountain, you've got the fire, but where's the animal to sacrifice?" Abraham says, "God will supply." The proof of faith is revealed in the sacrifice. The proof of our faith is revealed in our sacrifice. It was with Abraham. It's how he got there. Someone once said that the walk of faith is not for the timid. We have to have the courage to take the steps. We have to have the courage to make the sacrifice. Someone said that faith enables us to understand what God does. Faith enables us to see what others cannot see. And as a result, faith enables us to do what others cannot do. That's because God does it. How deep's your faith? Can you travel with God to the unknown? Did you have the patience to get there? Are you willing to sacrifice your plans, your future, for God's future? Today, would you come to God in faith and believing that He sent Jesus from heaven Himself? He came and died on the cross to make the payment for sins, resurrected so that He could show you had the power to conquer the consequences of sin, which is death. He holds life, and He can give life. You can know it. You can say you believe it. But until it changes you, till you take the step of faith with God, and it changes, does it affect you? Does it work in you? Take the step of faith today. You take the step of faith to go into an unknown territory with God. To sacrifice whatever He asks, believing that God's future and God's solution is best. I'm going to pray for us here in just a moment. And then we're going to sing. And that'll be your opportunity to take the first step or the next step in a faith in following God. Let's pray together. God, we thank You for loving us. God, I thank You for the life of Abraham and Sarah and what they teach us even today about living and walking with You. And God, first I pray that as You're speaking to us through the working of Your Spirit, first that it's clear this next step that You're wanting us to take. And then, God, help us in faith to increase so that we take that step toward the unknown, toward whatever it is You might ask us to sacrifice. But because, again, God, we know what You have in store, even though we may not know what You have in store, God, we know it's going to be what's best for us and best for Your kingdom and the best way to reveal Your glory. So God, give us that confidence. God, help us to take that next step in following You. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's stand together. You come as God's leading you. What step of faith is He asking you?